Well, we're continuing with Deuteronomy and chapter 29 this morning. I just mention as regards to our plans for preaching, and we're going to do chapter 29 and 30, God willing, this week and next week, and then we're taking a break from Deuteronomy, and in July through to September, we're going to be looking at John's epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. That's our plans for the preaching in the 11 o'clock service coming up. So if you could turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy and chapter 29. We're going to think about making our renewals today. Making our renewals. There should be a sheet with the outline of the message on. Which, once again, I seem to be making a habit of this. I'm trying to put my hands on it. Yep, there it is. Time to renew. It's a time for renewal. Today, a time for renewal. June the 20th has a degree of significance for me. I wouldn't want to overstate the significance of it because it's the day on which I have to renew my car insurance. It's a renewal day. And you perhaps be pleased to hear or not. It's not of a great deal of consequence, but I've done my renewal. But the important thing I want to just use that to indicate is there are renewal things that come along in our lives. And they're a regular thing as part of our lives. It'll come with various things that we have to deal with at home. And we're told that, and often we're given special offers, aren't we, as regards to, if you renew with us, then you'll get this and that, and everything will be beneficial for you. Well, I want to use that theme this morning as we're going to look at Deuteronomy and chapter 29. I'm going to say today is a day for us to renew our commitments. Okay. If I fail to renew my car insurance, I've got problems using my car, and that is an issue. But if we fail to make our commitments with God, we got essential problems with our life and eternity. So Felton Evangelical Church this morning, you are gathered this morning. I'm calling us to be gathered this morning to renew our commitments with the Lord, to renew our determination to go on to serve the Lord. There is a sense in which fellow Christians every Sunday should be a time to renew our commitments. It's a time when we can set ourselves apart from the normal day-to-day activities of life and say, yes, I want to go on for God. And then we can flow out into the world. If you're not a Christian this morning, then the call to you is to make your first commitment to the Lord. To realize that He is truly good. Marvelously good. We're going to think about some of His goodness as we go into our message this morning. So today is a big day. Today is a big day to think about where our lives stand before the Lord. Have you been drifting? Just moving along? Well, God is saying to you, from the oldest to the youngest, children, you come and join us today. We're going to be thinking about the children being involved. You come and join us in making your commitment to go out into your life to serve the Lord. It was that kind of day for the nation of Israel. All those years ago, some 3,000 or more years ago, it was a day for them as they stood in the land of Moab on the verge of crossing over to this beautiful land that God had for them. They were there with Moses in Deuteronomy 29 and they're called to make their commitment to the Lord before they go out into this great new life that God had for them beyond the river. Now the word that crops up here is the word covenant. Is the word covenant. So what is a covenant? We need to get that sorted out. What is a covenant? It's an agreement, really, isn't it? It's an agreement. So if I say I could make an agreement with one of you, couldn't I? Yeah, I could make an agreement. I'll say I'll make an agreement with Kai. I'll make an agreement with Kai. Kai will give me £5 a year and I'll give him as much fruit as he wants for the rest of his life. That sounds a decent deal for Kai, I think, doesn't it? And so we agree on it and we make a covenant. Well, if Kai came to me and said, I'll give you £5 a year and you give me as much fruit as you were, as I need, and I say no, then there's no agreement, is there? There's no agreement. There's no covenant. But when we come together and say, that's right, Kai, I'm going to do that. You'll give me £5 and I'll give you all the fruit for the rest of your life. And we enter into what? We enter into a covenant. Yeah? We bound together. And at the end of a year, I may well go back to Kai or he may well come to me and say, remember that agreement? Yeah, we're going to stick with it, aren't we? We're going to stick with it. We're going to renew it. And in a sense, that's what we've got here. The nation of Israel had been given a covenant when they came out of Israel, the Sinai covenant. They were a blessed people by being brought out, and they were called to live the blessed life by being obedient to the Lord. And they committed themselves into that. Okay? And now 40 years later, as they're about to go over the Jordan River, after all of their wanderings and going here, there and everywhere, they're called again to renew their commitment. Renew their devotion to the Lord. So, as we move into the passage then, let's think about ourselves. We're called this morning to renew our commitments to the Lord that we might go productively and effectively to live for God, like the nation of Israel were all those years ago. Verse 1 then of chapter 29, we'll read about that covenant. So let's read in verses 29. We'll read these words. Chapter 29 and verse 1. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Horeb. That was Sinai, another name for Horeb, those years ago. Now they're standing, they're going to make this commitment. So the first point we want to look at this morning is verses 2 to 9, and we're looking back to the past. Looking back to the past. So let's read verses 2 to 9 of Deuteronomy and chapter 29. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reached this place, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do." Yeah. It's a good offer. You bind yourself here, you'll prosper. You keep to it. So basically what the Lord is saying, what's the Lord saying to them here? You know, I've been good to you. You know, I've been good to you. You know, if somebody's kind to us, we tend to want to do what they say, don't we? And this is the Lord is saying that big time here. He's saying, I've been good to you. Now, you're going to be on a good side when you bind into going my way.
somebody's bad. And children, if you know somebody's bad or you can't trust somebody, you don't do what they say. You just don't. But God is saying, what's he done? He's done all this stuff in Egypt, we see to start off with, as we go to verses 2-4. And he says how all these things have been done when they were back in Egypt. And verse 3 says, with your own eyes, you saw it. You saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and wonders. All those things were done down in Egypt. And they were all working so that the people of Israel were brought out of suffering, of bondage, of traps, to serve God. God's been good to them. Verse 4 is an intriguing verse. They hadn't fully got it. And you know, it doesn't seem as though they fully registered with them. We haven't really taken it in. It's an interesting thing, isn't it, as well? Our hymns are often along those themes, aren't they? The hymn we just sung has, oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. How good you've been. Because when we think about the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt, what is the great parallel for us? It's how we've been brought out of our sin, isn't it? The trap of our sin, our selfishness, our bad ways. And we've been brought out by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Mighty works. And we should say, God is good. And we should say, Lord, help me take it in. Oh, teach me what it means, Lord. Is your heart cold sometimes, fellow Christian? Verse 4, we feel verse 4, don't we? Yeah, that we don't really take it in. And we cry, Lord, open my heart, Lord. Open my heart. So he's brought them, he's cared for them. Verses 5 and 6, how's he cared for them? He's given them plenty of stuff, hasn't he? Kept them through those desert years, those 40 years we talked about earlier. He's given them clothes, given them sandals, given them food. And that they might know that the Lord is their God. The Lord is kind to them. Yeah. Children, one of the ways you know that the Lord is kind to you is that you've been given parents. And they give you food. And they give you clothes. And you can say thank you to your fathers today, on Father's Day. They've done that. And God is a greater Father. And so he's cared for them. And that's not just all history. He's bringing it right up to date in verses 7 and 8. They were attacked. These two big kings, Og and Sihon, these two big kings came and attacked them. And what does it read? The Lord. So verses 7 and 8. When you reach this place, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan came out to fight against us. But we defeated them. We took their land and gave it to the inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. Things had gone well for them again. And so it wasn't just history, the workings of God being good to them. It was also news. Up-to-date news. Some of you may not like history. Here's the news. God had, they've been able to defeat these enemies. And so what does God say? He say, take it or leave it. He says, I've been good to you. I've been good to you. So what does verse 9 say? What does verse 9 say? Verse 9. So carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. Commit yourself. You're a blessed people. I've been good to you. Then commit yourself to obeying me, and then it would continue to go well for you. So, fellow believers this morning, let's go back to the cross and know that God has been good to us. He's done everything. The Lamb of God has come. The one who's born the sin of the world, born of our sin, so we're now free. And the Lord has kept us. He's sustained us in the benefits of what he's done at the cross. We've known the continued cleansing from our sin as they come into our lives. The Lord has watched over us. He's provided for us.
And we're still here today. Isn't it a remarkable thing that I've been a Christian for 33 years? That's just amazing, isn't it? And some of you can say longer. I'm still here. And God has been good to me. And so God is saying to me this day, saying, Philip, I've been good to you. Once again, get real, get sensible, and get your life ordered and say, yes, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to move on for the Lord. I'm going to bind myself into his goodness. God is good to us in so many ways. He's provided us a church even. What a beautiful thing to be in a church, isn't it? Not always easy working things through, but we're together in church. And therefore, let us go on for the Lord. So that's the past. We're going to move to the present now. And if you think about the past, God has been good. What are we thinking about in the present? We're thinking about what God requires then. What God requires. So let's read the next section in our passage. The next section in our passage, which is verses 10 to 15. Verses 10 to 15. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God. Your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the aliens living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God, as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. They're basically being called to commit. God is committing to them. They are to commit to him. And go on and live life. So what's going on here? When is it happening? It's happening today. It's happening today. Notice it says in verse 10, it says today. You're all standing here today. In verse 12, we say, you are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day. Verse 13, to confirm to you this day. What does that tell us? It's not about tomorrow. It's about today. It's about today, everybody. It's about getting serious with God today. And who's involved? Verses 10 and 11. Who's involved? Well, basically everybody, isn't it? You know, nobody excluded, isn't it? You've got all the leaders. You've got chief men. You've got all the other men in Israel in verse 10. You've got the children and the wives. So children, you're included as well. I don't think anybody's missed out yet, are they? And just to emphasize that any of the aliens living in your camps who chop wood and carry your water, you may think, well, I haven't got a very big job in life. You're included as well. Everybody's included. And where are they? Well, they're before the Lord. Where are they? They're before the Lord. It says that in verse 10, isn't it? All of you are standing in the presence of the Lord your God. We're in the presence of the Lord our God right now. God, who has been good to us, in his presence, all of us today. And what are they called to? They're called to this covenant. They're called to this commitment. God is committing himself to bless them when they're obedient. And as we thought 2 weeks ago, the side of the commitment is that if they are not obedient, they will suffer. God is calling them into that. As the good God, he says, calling them. And the people are called to say, yes, we want that. We want God's way because of verses 2 to 9, that God is a good God. God is good. And as we see that, then, as we think about this covenant, we'll see that it's to do with the past, the present, and the future. They're connecting to the past in verse 13, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of the great people right at the beginning of the nation of Israel, are connecting into them. And they're connecting into the future. Those people who are not here at the moment, it seems as though that's looking ahead. And they're connecting in. And we so easily forget that when we're all caught up in our own present, isn't it? And as the people of God, we're connecting into a past generations who followed and committed themselves to the Lord. And we're tuning in with any who will come with hereafter who will do the same. And may we be a good example to them. Dare I say, fathers, you be a good example to your children today. Everybody, good example to those who are coming afterwards, that we would show lives that are devoted, that are committed to the Lord. Today is a commitment day. Every Sunday is a commitment day. How do you think we get on with it? What do you think about our Sundays then? What do you think? Are they getting us? There is a sense in which every Sunday is a day when we come together. Notice they had to come together, all of them. They come together in the presence of God together. So there is a coming together. It's important. We could all sit at home watching the computer with some great preacher somewhere. But God has called us together, all of us. We come together as the people of God to covenant together that we might be acknowledging God as our great God and moving forward together to serve Him and live for Him. That's what we do every Sunday. And so I'm putting it to you. I think there's a sweetness about the way we organize things, because we organize things here, because we start at 9:30 with what? Our new covenant feast. We start with the Lord's Supper, our special time to acknowledge everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. And so it's the time when we bind ourselves through the bread and through the cup. And it's called in Matthew 27, verse 28, we read that the cup is called the blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The new covenant that we're in today, where God has done everything for us in Christ. And we seal that every week in the Lord's Supper. As a church, we gather together. The first thing we do on a Lord's Day is our covenant feast. That seems totally great, doesn't it? We can celebrate that together. And then we can come to our service at 11 o'clock and we can expand on that. We can engage in the worship of the Lord and we can hear the call of God to worship and to live out our lives. And so we're building upon the Lord's Supper. And then we have the rest of our day, whether it be coming to church again or whether it be in our homes to process this. Work out what we are to do to go on to live for the Lord. How we are going to be committed to the Lord and move out from there. This is our commitment day. And we go binding ourselves to be accountable to each other and how we're going to live out from this point. This is our covenant renewal day, and every Sunday should be such. We come together to commit ourselves to live for the Lord and serve Him together. The final point then this morning is in verses 16 through to 28. And that is is to do with the future. And here it is, what could happen. And this is all to do with warnings. God is very concerned about warnings. And fathers, speaking to myself here, if we are good fathers, we'll be giving warnings to our children. And when they're young, that's often in a very practical way. If you put your hand on the cooker when it's on, you're going to burn yourself, so don't do it. As they get older, we'll be warning them about bad courses they can have in their lives. But there's warnings. And God here is warning the people. Warning the people that if they don't keep with Him, if they don't keep with their commitments to Him, then there's going to be bad consequences. So the first thing here, I'm going to read the passage then from verses 16 to 28. You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt and how we passed through the countries on the way here. You saw among them their detestable images and idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. When such a person hears the words of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself and therefore thinks, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way. This will bring disaster on the watered land as well as on the dry. The Lord will never be willing to forgive his wrath and zeal will burn against that man. All the curses written in this book will fall upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for disaster, according to all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. Your children who follow you in later generations and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamities that have fallen on the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be a burning waste of salt and sulfur. Nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It'll be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in fierce anger. All the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this fierce burning anger? And the answer will be, it is because the people abandoned the covenant. It is because the people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them. Gods they did not know. Gods he had not given them. Therefore the Lord's anger burned against this land, so that he brought on it all the curses written in this book. In furious anger and in great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from their land and thrust them into another land, as it is now. Think there then about the future and about what could happen. This is warnings to them. If you don't bind into this commitment to me, things will go bad, essentially. So the context in verses 16 to 17. Firstly, want to think about the context in verses 16 to 17. And he's reminding them here of what they've seen. You lived in Egypt. You passed through the countries on the way here. You've seen the detestable image and idols of wood and stone and of silver and gold. They've seen how bad it is to worship other gods. They've seen what happens in the lives of people. They've witnessed it firsthand, how people mess up their lives by choosing other gods rather than the true and living God. And they're called to remember that. The media glamorizes all kinds of pursuits, shows us all the positive sides to them. And yet when we choose to make idols of anything, then we are going in a way which will devastate our lives. When we choose to put God way down out of our lives, to ignore him, and we choose the pleasures of this world. We could think of the addiction to substances. Some people think that substance becomes sources of idolatry. I mentioned that I still think we're very confused in the West as regards to alcohol. It's boasted of as being such a source of bringing joy and pleasure, and yet it's a devastating thing. There's a sense in which should go and visit places where people are in rehab and see how terrible these things are for people and the consequences of it. You see lives, you see older people's lives, and they've chosen things into their life. They devoted themselves and ended up, the consequences are miserable. And so we need to be intelligent fellow believers to realize that if we choose other gods, if we choose other ways, it's always going to end up bad. They've seen it firsthand. The Lord is saying to them concerning what they've seen as they've journeyed out of Egypt. I want to think about the individual warning then that's given. That's the context. I want to think about the individual warning that's given in verses 18 to 21. He says, therefore, verse 8, make sure there is no man or woman. He's coming to individuals now. Okay? We are made up of individuals this morning, so God is speaking to us as individuals. Make sure that none of you turns away his heart from the Lord his God to go and worship the gods of the nations. Make sure there's no root among you that produces such bitter poison. The idea is that what can come into our hearts when we start to set our affections upon others and our affection for the Lord starts to fade away. Okay? This is what happens when we're not renewing our commitments, you see. We fade away. The Lord's Day, the Sunday, is so important for us to get fresh in our commitments, and people and other gods come into our lives and we start to fade away. There's a bitter root and it spreads to others. I heard of somebody I'd known who followed the Lord for many years. I've heard that he's withdrawn from his church, he's withdrawn from his marriage, and he breaks your heart. It affects us. We affect one another. And if we're committed to the Lord, we stir each other up. And here is there's a poison that comes into the church. If you start to fade away, there's a poison that affects others. So verse 19, you see that how people can say the right things. Person hears the words that he said. He invokes a blessing on himself and therefore thinks, I will be safe. You know, I've done my religion. I'm going to be fine. Doesn't matter whether I go and pursue all kinds of things, immoral or indifferent. I'll do whatever I want. And God says to them, no, think about it. Think about it. It's not going to happen like that. You say you're going to be safe, even though you persist in it. And the end of verse 19, he says, this will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. And I think he's probably saying, you think you're watered because you've done your religion? You're just going to go with the dry, all the unbelievers as well. You're just all connected up with the same. You may make profession. Felton Evangelical Church, the members of this church may be persuaded that you're genuine, but you know that you're just a fraud. You're just deceiving. Because you know that your heart is full of idols and pursuing other things. And so we need to be hard on ourselves. What is number one in your hearts? I always remember the headline of the New Musical Express around about 1980, and the Jam were there, and it said, number one in your hearts. The readers of the New Musical Express have said the Jam were the best. Who's the best for you this morning? Your football team, your fashion choice, your studies, your marriage, your drugs, your alcohol. Some of those are foul, some of those are indifferent, some of those are even good. But if there's replacing God, then you're set in a bad way. We read on then from verse... reading on from verse 20. The Lord will never be willing to forgive him. His wrath and zeal will burn against the man. All the curses written in the book will fall upon him. The Lord will blot out his name from heaven. Disaster. And the challenge to us this morning, as those who are professing to know Christ, is our life matching it? Or are we just a fraud? If we're just a fraud, we're basically like the fig tree that we thought about earlier. Saying we're a fig tree, but no figs, no fruit. People should be coming up to our lives and tasting some fruit. Let's think about the collective issue here then. Collective issue here in verses 22 to 28. This is the whole nation together. And basically the whole nation has fallen into a calamitous state. And the people from down the generations, verse 22, and other lands come, and the whole land has just become sulfur and salt, verse 22, just like the Sodom and Gomorrah. And what do you think when you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody? What do you think? Sodom and Gomorrah. It's judgment, isn't it? God poured out his fierce judgment, and what was a luscious place filled with beautiful things came just salt and sulfur. Because they turned away from the Lord. And basically God is saying, you, if you turn away from me, you'll become like that. Now we have to realize the context of the land here. God has always got a purpose. We'll think about this more tonight. To have his people in his place. And his place there was this special land. Beautiful, flowing with milk and honey. And now it's turned to salt and sulfur. And we'll see, even as it comes down to verse 27, therefore the Lord's anger burned against this land, so they brought on it all the curses written in his book. Furious anger and great wrath, the Lord uprooted them from their land, thrust them into another land, as it is now. Okay? And why was it all happening like this, verse 25? And the answer will be, it is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. Yeah. They abandoned it. They said, we'll go our own way. We'll take our chance. We won't bother with God. And they got sucked in to all of the idols, all of the ways. Verse 26, they went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them. And my call to us this morning is don't do it. Don't do it. Come back. Re-covenant with the Lord. Perhaps you've drifted on, fellow Christian. Perhaps you've been drifting on for month and week and week. And now God says, come. Know that I am good. Know how bad it's going to go if you don't seal this. Know that your profession of religion, that's not going to do the deal. Come with your heart. Life may be tough at the moment. Life may be hard. But Jesus is the source of all blessing through his cross. So come back to him. And as a church, we've got to think about it. The church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 was warned this way. But I have this against you, the Lord said to them, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And I did a search online and they showed a derelict rubble, old monument-like place in Ephesus, which we said, this was a church. Well, we know the church is not a building, but it's an indication how God removed the church. And churches can be removed. We can end up wasteland because we just drift from the Lord. And churches and churches and churches in this land, that is what has happened to them. They've just drifted from the wonderful news of Jesus and just chosen to drift into all kinds of immorality. And they've gone with the way of the world, the idols of the world. Yeah. Transgenderism. How many churches are just adopting that nowadays? Just go with the way of the world. Same-sex marriage. Go with the way of the world. And we're saying, no, come with God's way. I know you may struggle with these issues and we're here to help you if you struggle. But we stand on the way of God. So, let's be thoughtful about these things together. And I say to you, if you're not a Christian this morning, all this has big warnings for you. If you don't make yourself, make things good with God through coming to the blessings that he has through Christ, coming into the good of a covenant which is established on the basis of him having done everything at the cross and you repenting of your sin and trusting in him. If you don't do that, you are facing all of these curses and judgments. Because you're outside of the blessings. So we thought this morning about the past.
God had been good to them. Thought about the present. Make your commitment. Thought about the future. It's going to go bad if you don't make your if you don't commit to me. So make sure you commit to me. Verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us, to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Why is that here? I'll put it to you. It's there because the word is basically saying to us, don't get thinking about all the ifs and buts and maybes and what might be and what's got plan is there and that. Just take the word for what you've got and respond to it and live it out. Children growing up, I urge you, take the word of God for what it is and learn it. Don't get carried away with all kinds of schemes that people might have about everything. All of us, let's stick with the word of the Lord. A final thing then is simply to say, fellow Christian, if we're not making our renewals, then we are fading away. We must make our renewals with God, because otherwise we just drift away. We got to say, as it says in Joshua 24, that we will commit ourselves to serving the Lord. Nobody ever drifted into following the Lord. Nobody ever drifted into serving the Lord. Nobody ever drifted into worshipping the Lord. We have to say, yes, this is what we want. God is truly good. Calvary's cross immeasurably expresses that. How could we ever think that God is not good? And how could we ever think that it's not wise and sensible to present everything in our lives to Him? And if you do so, I say to myself in the presence of the Lord, if I do so, I will never regret it. Lord, save me from my delusions. And may we go into the way of the Lord with passion and vigor like we've never been before. Rise up, Feltham Evangelical Church, to a better day. To a day when we can move forward vibrantly together for the Lord.